Hey, welcome back to the show. You know, if you believe tonight in the instructions that were provided to us by our Creator above, I'm talking about Genesis to Revelation. There's a lot in the Bible that is just so obvious, you know, love thy neighbor as thyself. And then there's a lot that is really kind of confusing to us down here with our limited minds. The book of Revelation does come to mind in that case. I've heard about it since a little kid in church. I've read, studied, and that's why I was so interested tonight to speak to Ron Wineland. Ron, welcome to the Trevor Carey Show.
Hello.
How are you? Where are you calling from tonight in this great land?
Cincinnati area.
The Cincinnati area, WKRP. Did you live there when the Who concert went crazy?
The Who concert? I didn't know it was here.
Yeah, back in like 1979, they bust through the doors before the concert started, and 80 people got trampled to death.
You know, that was here. No, I wasn't here at that time.
Yeah, that was in Cincinnati.
Ah.
Ron, I had a guest on last week talking about the cashless society, and I really think that there's so many things out there that are happening right in front of our eyes that, in my opinion, the majority of churches are really kind of ignoring, and I think it's reason to rejoice, actually, because we are actually seeing something that was written 2,000 years ago come to fruition. It almost proves, look, how could they even imagine a cashless society 2,000 years ago? But it predicted it, and it's already being implemented. Now, what I want to get in here with you is, you actually think you can narrow this down to a time period when the apocalypse is going to hit? Am I reading right here or wrong?
Well, yes. It's always been talked about by religious groups and so forth because there's so much in the Bible been written about it. People have had different ideas about what's going to take place and what they call the end time, and then a lot of confusion about it. But yes, we are actually at that point in time. We have God gave mankind 7,000 years, 6,000 years for his own government, and he's getting ready to intervene. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ came, and that was after 4,000 years of man being on earth, and they didn't realize he was going to come back at this time. When he first came back, he just came as the one who was going to be the Passover lamb, and this time he's coming back to be a king.
My guest tonight is author Ron Wineland. I'm pronouncing that correctly, Ron, right? Wineland?
Correct, Wineland. Yes.
2008 God's Final Witness is the name of the book. So there won't be a reason to buy this in 2009 if it doesn't happen. Does that scare you a little bit, putting a date on it, 2008?
Well, it's a little challenging, I guess, but so when God gives you something to do, you do it.
So Ron, go ahead, and I believe that God does talk to us. I wouldn't doubt you if you said, I heard God talk to me. I know he communicates with people here on earth in many different ways. Where were you? How were you feeling? How did you sense or feel this from God above?
Well, God has always revealed things to prophets, either directly or through the Holy Spirit, and that's primarily how he revealed things to me, especially through prophecies in the Bible with his spirit, being able to see and understand them. And that's basically how two books came together. The first book I wrote was The Prophesied End Time. This book here, 2008, God's Final Witness, 2 years apart of the two books. And we're getting down to the wire of the time when the final tribulation is going to begin on this earth.
So you're saying 2008 is when it's going to begin. You're not saying that's the day that Christ is going to return?
No, there's actually a period of time in the Bible called a Great Tribulation that lasts for 3.5 years. And 2008 is going to see the United States and a lot of the world thrust into that period of time because it begins with the United States. It actually begins with the destruction of the United States, which is not a pleasant thought to think about, but that's a reality.
Okay, now I want to go back to something I heard you say. I know you're a pastor in the Church of God.
Correct.
Okay, now, what sets a prophet apart from a pastor? You said you are a prophet, so what sets you apart?
Yeah, a good question. A pastor is basically a responsibility toward a congregation, toward a church, toward feeding a church. A prophet has the responsibility of speaking about those things that God gives directly to mankind, and that's, I do both. I have both as a part of a function, and that's the prophet is just something that mankind hasn't been used to for about 2,000 years, though, and that's kind of a difficult thing because people just they're not accustomed to something like that. So when they hear these things, they've heard so many people talk about the end time that They really don't give it a whole lot of credibility, and that's why I put everything on the line and mentioned 2008, because that's going to prove whether or not what I say is true. Because who do you listen to out here? There's so many different ideas.
Well, it does say in the end times that it'll be, come over here, no, come over here, come over here. There's so many different beliefs today, so many patterns for people to go through. But I talk about on my show, Ron, quite a bit about, I think the church is asleep at the wheel here. I think I call them eye booger Republicans. They can't see out of their eyes, and it's being ignored. And how much of that do you think of politics and whatnot pastors are afraid to talk about because of the tax exemption?
Well, we live in a politically correct society. That's one problem. People are afraid to speak out and tell what they believe or what they're convicted of. Very few do. But there's a big problem with religion in this world, personally. That's part of the problem why things are coming to an end here, because there are so many different ideas, there's so much confusion, there's so much that hasn't been taught, that's incorrect, and that's what God's getting ready to intervene to correct. It's a difficult time we live in. There's so much confusion out here. Look at all the different churches, the different ideas, the different teachings about God, and yet everybody believes they're right.
Now, do you believe, Ron, like I do, it's God the Father, Son, Holy Spirit? He sent his Son to down. He died for us. He was God, but he was also human. And that if we accept him into our lives and our heart, only God knows our hearts. Other people don't all the time. That we'll live forever with him. And if you reject him, that you will be apart from him forever. Are we on the same page?
Oh, not really.
Explain how you differ from what I believe.
Okay. Believe in Jesus Christ. However, there is no breakup between what God taught and God gave mankind in the Old Testament and what he gave in the New Testament. Jesus Christ came along to fulfill the prophecies of the Old Testament about a Messiah that was going to come. That's going to be fulfilled in the near future here, but also as our Passover. And Passover is an observance. Jesus Christ came to fulfill that in the sense that he died for mankind as our Passover. The Passover lamb, the blood of Christ, is how we're saved. It's a beginning process. It's how we're able to be forgiven of our sins, but then we're to change. We're to become something different by God dealing with us, by God leading and guiding, directing us in the truth. And
so far, I don't disagree with you. What did I say you disagreed with?
Okay. Well, basically, there are different ideas about what happens from that point on. And
do you believe you can lose your salvation?
Oh, absolutely. From the time of Christ, from that point forward, as far as traditional Christianity is concerned, people begin to veer off in different directions. There were two churches in the very beginning. One with the apostles that began to teach. One began to emerge later on that began to teach things different from what the apostles were teaching. It became a great church. It was on the earth for several hundred years. It's a Catholic church. It came to a point in time in the 1500s where finally different churches began to split off from her, Luther in particular, the Lutheran Church, and various ones. But they're not the same as what was in the beginning. And as an example here, people talk about going to heaven when they die. That's not a part of God's plan. Mankind does not go to heaven when they die.
Where do you think we go?
We go back to the earth. We go back to the dust from where we came from. We have, people go to funerals and they listen to a preacher talk, and he talks about going to heaven, but on the other hand, he starts talking about a resurrection. What do you need a resurrection if you're already alive and you're up in heaven or down in hell?
I always kind of took that as the body form comes back, that our soul is already up there, because it does say when Jesus comes back, it'll be with a shout and the dead will rise first. Is that what you base your belief on that scripture, that the dead will rise first?
Well, there are those that are going to be resurrected, yes. There's a time, but you're a little different in what you had to say than what most believe. Most believe that when you die, you go to one or two places. You go someplace to be tormented and tortured, or you go off to heaven. And people don't think about a body in that respect. They think they're up there. They think that they're doing things, that they're involved in things with whatever God is doing with them, and that's not true. People are just, they're dead, and they're waiting for a time to be resurrected, to be put into a body again, to be given a body. Man thinks he has an immortal soul. We do not have an immortal soul. That's the primary teaching of Christ in the New Testament, is that we have to be given the gift of life. It's a gift. It's not something that we already have. We don't automatically go someplace when we die, up to heaven or down to hell. we have to wait for a time in God's plan when he's going to resurrect mankind.
My guest tonight is author Ron Wineland. His book is 2008, God's Final Witness. Ron, I want to ask you, you believe you can lose your salvation. I don't believe I can. So I want to ask you, if you believe it's something that we do to get that, I don't think it is. I think it's what he did. It's a gift. And to take it back or to judge it on, it can be given to us or taken back. I'll say in the very end, which one of us walking the planet out here are even worthy?
No one's worthy.
So what does God judge us on? I mean, if we're on a judgment scale, we all fail, man. We are all doomed to hell.
No.
So it's a gift he gives us, and I don't see him taking that back if our heart was truly changed at some moment in our life. And that's why I say only God knows it. It's not up for man to say, oh, you're a Christian, you're saved, you're going, you know. We can't do that.
No. I understand your dilemma.
It's not a dilemma.
It is by what you're saying to me because of things you're saying that have to do with what you've been taught. I don't believe what you've been taught correctly.
I'll believe that. You believe what you believe, I believe what I believe.
Well, I know, but there's more to the story. There's more to the plan of God. God has a plan. And that's why 6,000 years is so important to understand as a part of God's plan. We're at the end of 6,000 years, and this is what's getting ready to happen. This is what's getting ready to take place. Jesus Christ is getting ready to return, and it's hard for people to understand, but for 6,000 years, God has been working with different people that he's going to bring with him. Jesus Christ is going to bring different ones with him. They're going to be resurrected when he returns. And this is a part of the scripture you quoted of individuals that are going to be resurrected at the time when he comes back. But there are only 144,000 mentioned in the book of Revelation. And those individuals have been trained, prepared for a government. Jesus Christ is the Messiah, which has to do with being a king. When Jesus Christ came to Jerusalem on his last day, they honestly thought, the Jews thought he was coming back in to take away or to rise up and become a king, to be their king, to lead them away from the Roman government, to take away the oppressive Roman government. And that's why Pilate asked him, are you a king? Because that's the only ground he had to kill him on, to put him to death. They thought he was going to be a king then. All the prophecies in the Bible about a Messiah, about a king, is for the future. God is going to have Jesus Christ come back here very shortly now with 144,000 who are going to set up a single government on the earth. Man cannot govern himself. 6,000 years, God gave man 6,000 years to prove to man that we cannot govern ourselves, that we have every kind of religious belief on earth, and they haven't brought us peace. Look at the wars people have fought. The North and the South here in this country. Preachers from the same church were praying for their soldiers to have success. And yet they went off to kill each other. What kind of a God is that? What kind of a religion is that that teaches something like that, that you can go off and kill another enemy and yet you're the one that's right? Both believe they were right. And because that's not the truth. It's not the way it really is.
Well, it's killing is okay in the form of self-defense. I don't believe that you attack people. I think that's very wrong. Ron Wineland is my guest tonight. He's pastor in the Church of God denomination. He's also the author of 2008, God's Final Witness. Ron, I'm going to come back, and we're going to get into this. I appreciate you being on the show, so hang on a sec, man.
Sure.
877-353-1310. 877-353-1310. Can it be taken? Can it be taken away? Ron says, yes, it can be. Trevor says, I don't think it can be. We're going to get back into that and also about Iraq, Korea, Israel. Are we headed for the apocalypse? Welcome back to the Trevor Cherry Show. My guest tonight is author Ron Wineland. He's also a pastor in the Church of God denomination. Ron, I appreciate you staying up late tonight and being on the show. Thanks, man.
You bet.
Hey, during the commercials there, I was really sitting there pondering the things that we talked about, and I want to ask you, if I was in your church, a member of your congregation, and I ask you if my salvation can be taken away, what is it then that we do? Is it a roll of the dice hoping that we're in good grace when that bus hits us as we cross the street? What do you tell people that they have to do to be worthy and be saved?
Well, it's a process. We begin with repentance. It's very basic. Even when the church began in 31 A.D., that's exactly what they asked Peter and the different apostles there when they were given the Holy Spirit on that day.
So repentance being an act between you and God where he looks down at your heart and sees that you're truly sorry.
And exactly. And it's a matter of repentance means to change, to think differently. And the thinking differently is turning from our ways to God's ways. So we have to change. We can't come to God just as we are and stay the way we are forever. We have to change. We have to become something different. We are to walk in newness of life. We are to live by God's way of life. What does that mean, walking by God's way of life? Well, you know, no one is perfect. We all sin. We sin every day. We, you know, nobody can live perfectly and have every thought be perfect. You can drive down a freeway and sin just in driving. So it's a matter of a desire to change, to become more in harmony and unity and oneness with God. People who don't desire to do that, who just want to feel good about going to church once a week and go out and live ever how they want to live and live in sin, you know, you can't live life like that. You can't continue in sin. You've got to come out of sin. That's the whole teaching of the Bible. We've got to change. If we don't want to change, then we can't receive salvation because it is a gift. It is a matter of a process of something that God will give if we choose to live his way of life. If we just want to be the same as what we are, what's the purpose? What's the meaning?
Okay, so we agree with the repentance aspect, that is the first stage of it, and God instructs us to live in his way of life. He knows that we're going to fail. He knows that we're going to falter. But somebody that says, I've been saved, I'm a Christian, and they continue to live a life that destroys other people's lives, their own, they have evil intentions, I'm going to question whether or not that repentance was actually real or not.
Oh, exactly.
Go ahead.
That's a part of it. But the story is a lot bigger than this, and that's really what I go into in both books that I have, 2008, God's Final Witness. And by the way, I'll put a little plug in here. You know, people can receive these books free online. If they go online to theend2008.com, they can get a free book. We don't charge anything for them. And it goes into depth explaining some of these things. There are a lot of concepts that people have about God that aren't genuine. You know, when Jesus Christ came along, he condemned every bit of Judaism, and yet they all thought that they were living right. They talked about God. They talked about the God of the Old Testament. And they tried to live his way of life, but they were wrong. They were wrong in what they were doing and how they were doing it. Today, the world isn't any different. Mankind thinks he knows about God. He believes he's doing the right thing. And that's why God's going to come now, at this time, and stop man from living the way he is. He's going to establish one church on the earth, not thousands of different churches. There's going to be one church. There's going to be one government. To remove all the massive confusion. Just like we were talking about going to heaven or going to hell. People, you know, there are people who live in torment sometimes about their relatives when they die because they think maybe because of the kind of life they're living, they're being tortured. Well, that would be a very fiendish God that would torture someone for eternity. God is not that way. If they don't go to some place and are tormented forever, they just simply die and wait a time to be resurrected into a different time, into a different world.
Do you think the scripture that talks about the lake of fire and the torment, and it does kind of vividly describe a place
that's true. It is a final judgment. Judgment, see, man, a lot of traditional Christianity has taken that to mean eternal punishment, being eternally punished. The punishment isn't eternally being punished. It's an eternal punishment. In other words, when you're put to death for rejecting God, for turning against God, for choosing not to want God's way of life, when he offers it, when he does finally offer it, there's coming a time of judgment in the future when those who do refuse will be cast into a fire, and, in other words, they're going to be burnt up, never to be resurrected from that again. But they're not going to be tormented for all eternity. That's perverted. That's distorted. It's just a punishment. It's eternal punishment because it lasts for eternity. They will never be resurrected again.
Okay, either way we look at it, it's a bad trip, right?
That's for sure.
It's definitely a bad trip. But you're talking about God's way of life after the repentance and the living in sin. As your congregation there, it's your Church of God community, how would you explain to somebody then, what sin is it that does put you over that line to where God would take away the gift? As you just said, he offers it to us. We accept it. We have repentance. What do we do here on earth that God takes it away? Is there a list?
Well, what you're asking doesn't fit in the scheme of things of what we teach in the church.
If I were wanting to be a new member, I've been a few Sundays, and I ask you that question.
You wouldn't be coming on Sunday if that was the case, first of all.
You guys meet on Saturday?
That's right.
That's right. Okay, good.
It's the Seventh-day Sabbath. That's where the problem is. Man has decided he can serve God, live God's way of life any way he chooses. And yet, when you look at the Ten Commandments, one of them very specifically states, you are to keep the Seventh-day Sabbath. People came along and said, oh, that's done away with. You know, Jesus Christ came and nailed us to the cross. Said, okay, it's been done away with. You don't have to keep Saturday. And then you say, well, what about the other commandments? Well, they were all nailed to the cross. Well, what about committing adultery? No, that's a good commandment. What about not committing murder? No, that's a good commandment. What about stealing? No, that's a good commandment. What about the Seventh-day Sabbath? No, that was done away with. They don't like it. And there's a reason why they don't like it. The reality is, in the Church of God, people are going to keep the Seventh-day Sabbath because it pictures God's plan and God commands us to keep it. But man thinks he can change things. He can do as he wants, just like the Jews did in the time of Christ. Jesus Christ told them, no, you can't change things.
I think that Jesus came to them and said, you guys are paying way too much attention. Remember when when his disciples picked some wheat out in the field on the Sabbath and they were getting on him about it, how they weren't keeping it holy?
But the issue was not the Sabbath. The issue was about how to keep the Sabbath. The issue was about the restrictions the Jews were putting on it. He said, you make the Sabbath a burden. You make the law of God a burden. And that's what they were doing. It wasn't a matter. He was saying that the law was bad, that the Sabbath was bad. He kept the Sabbath himself.
Okay.
In fact, you go in the scripture, you find out that the apostles kept the Sabbath. The apostles kept the holy days. And yet those are the very things that traditional, there's a reason why there's great conflict in this world. And this is where it's all going to begin. If man wants to obey God, have what God says that they can have in the future, then man has to make a choice of obedience and obeying God. Disobedience is sin. Disobedience is doing our own thing. And one of the most basic things has to do with the Sabbath, because that's the one that people don't like as a whole in the world. A person needs to understand where all these things came from, why these changes came. The apostles kept God's law. After Christ was dead, they kept God's way of life. It's not a burden if you do it, you know, the right way. It's not a hardship at all. It's a joy. It's a fullness of life. It is fullness of life. But about 325 A.D., a church came along, decided that the Sabbath was no longer to be kept in essence. They decided that long before that. But they made some changes. They changed Passover. They changed it to Easter. They started calling, and that was to give credibility to the first day of the week's service, going before God on Sunday rather than Sabbath. So they changed the Sabbath. They began to teach other things as well. All the Protestant churches today have their beliefs, their ideas, from one church, and it's the Catholic Church. The idea of the Trinity, the idea of the Holy Spirit being a being, is not true.
The idea of mixing bingo and alcohol in the church ground, I don't like either. Ron Weiland is my guest tonight. He's author of 2008 God's Final Witness. Ron, you're a very articulate man. You graciously answered everything I've asked you, except for one thing. I believe your salvation cannot be taken back if it's true and genuine. You believe it is, and I want to ask again, what is it then that we do here on earth where God would take that back from us?
Well, first of all, no one has it yet. No one has salvation yet. You're not there until you're there. You're not there until God gives you eternal life. No one has eternal life. There's only one that's ever been given eternal life. And that's Jesus Christ.
And there is a judgment day that we will all face, and we'll see if our name is written in the book of life, is what the scriptures state.
Exactly.
But we can have that. Then what's the point of having the joy here on earth that God gave with his Holy Spirit that he sent back down? Well, I mean, we can experience everything God wants us to here on earth, and part of that is the celebration of his promise.
This is difficult because I understand this is what you've been taught. But people don't understand God's plan. They don't understand that no one has been offered salvation on a massive scale yet. Only 144,000 in the last 6,000 years have been offered salvation. Only 144,000 has God been working with over 6,000 years. They're the ones that are going to come back in God's kingdom as spirit beings, as the members of the God family, along with Jesus Christ, to rule the earth for 1,000 years. When you go to Revelation, It talks about a government of 1,000 years.
The millennium period, yeah. It's kind of that thing at the very end that we don't talk about too much.
Exactly.
Ron, I gotta hit a break here. My guest tonight is author Ron Weiland. He's also pastor Church of God denomination. His book is 2008, God's Final Witness. If you would like to read the book for free online, it's dn2008.com. We're going to come back, and we're going to get into a little bit more. I know we keep talking about Iran, Iraq, and Korea, Israel, but it's fun to discuss the Bible. It really is.
Trevor Carey.
Welcome back to the Trevor Carey Show. My guest tonight is author Ron Weiland. He's the author of 2008, God's Final Witness. Ron, would you be willing, or are you too tired tonight to hang out for another, at least one more break after the top of the hour?
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying this. I appreciate you being on tonight. Let's get into a little bit. The Bible talk was really good. I think we could just agree to disagree here.
Right, I understand.
No, it's okay. And the thing is that I think the reason I'm saying it is I think we're so vastly different in our beliefs that it would require hours of
exactly.
It really would. But
that's why I was thinking about getting into the prophetic thing. It's getting closer to 2008 and what's going to happen.
Yeah, that's where we're going to head with this here.
Right.
Let me get back. When did God talk to you and give you this message about the upcoming 2008? What year was it?
Over the past 7 years.
So it was 7 years ago when you first got the inclination to put a date on it?
The actual date didn't come until about 2 years ago.
Okay.
That wasn't revealed until about 2 years ago, but other things began to be revealed before that. Actually, some things, on a cruise ship, and we went past Patmos, where John was, and that's where even some things began to happen after that. But
so for the tribulation to hit in 2008, that go 8, 9, 10, 11, 2011 at the six-month point is when the Antichrist turns and turns on the nation of Israel. And
I don't even believe in that. That's something that's understood in Scripture, too. So
Well, then tell me, what do you believe in, huh?
Antichrist is about anyone who is against Christ. John talked about it in 1 John, especially. And it's people who have been given opportunity to live God's way of life, to receive Jesus Christ, and then they turn against him. They begin to turn to their own ways. They don't want him. He says that all those people who misuse, who don't appreciate and aren't thankful for God's Spirit and Jesus Christ living in their lives, that they are Antichrist. But people have confused those with a teaching about someone who's going to rise up in Europe at the end time here, which is real, which is going to take place, who is a religious leader.
What's the actual word? What's the translation word they use? Is it not Antichrist?
Yeah, it is Antichrist, but it just means, in the Greek, it just means anyone against Christ. Anti is against Christ.
Okay, but it talks about one big leader that will be against Christ.
That's not really what the word Antichrist. That's another section of Revelation that some people have put together meaning the same thing, and it doesn't. There is an individual religious leader who's going to rise up in Europe.
Okay, for this interview, what do you want to call him?
He's just a false religious leader.
Okay, the false religious leader. At the 3.5-year mark, he turns on the nation of Israel. Do you believe? Are we on track?
He's going to turn against this country too.
Yeah, against the entire world. But at that 3.5-year point, do you think that's when the money system switches, or do you see it happening during the first few months of the start of the 7-year tribulation?
At the beginning of the 3.5 years, the dollar will become useless. It's going to turn to the euro. There will be no more dollars. There will be worthless paper.
Okay, but in the end times, in the tribulation period, are you saying it says there will be a one-world currency?
Yep.
No one can buy or sell without the mark of this man. And do you see that happening at the 3.5-year point or at the very start?
After about a six-month period, it'll be that way for about 3 years. Yes.
Okay, so at the very start, they'll get rolling the first few months.
Right.
Okay, so we are going to have to switch over for your prophecy to become real in 2008. We're going to have, the whole world's going to have to switch over pretty quick, and I want to get into that here with my guest tonight, Ron Weiland. He is the author of 2008, God's Final Witness, and he's a pastor in the Church of God community. We'll be right back. This is interesting stuff. Ron Weiland. Ron, do you play any instruments?
Not a one.
Not a one. You're like me. You play the radio, right?
Got it.
He's the author of 2008, God's Final Witness, pastor, Church of God. Ron, let's talk about Iran, Iraq, Korea, Israel. This is all going to have to culminate pretty quickly for your prophecy of 2008. Do you have any month in 2008 you say the tribulation is going to start?
No, but it'll most likely be in the fall. when the final things begin to take place.
What do you see as the as we're watching the world events unfold? What type of thing? I know you probably don't know specifically, but what type of movement do you see that would give us the tribulation has started at X marks the spot? What kind of movement around the world?
Well, the primary thing is going to happen in the United States. Terrorism is not over with by a long shot, and it'll probably be nuclear weapons in various cities. That'll be the beginning of some of the things that begin to take place. We have a period of time from the spring of 2008 to the fall where things are going to begin taking place here in the United States. It'll be the downfall of the United States, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and Western Europe. And that is what thrust the world into World War III, is because of what happens here primarily. The dollar becomes defunct. We're no longer a nation. Another power arises in Europe, and there are 10 nations that come out of Europe, and they're going to begin being the most powerful nation at that time, or a group of nations at that time on Earth. There will also be another power surge out of the areas of China and Russia and so forth, and they're going to enter into World War III. But not until the United States has already fallen. We are going to fall first. And that's all a part of prophecy. The United States.
Yeah, it's not mentioned. The United States really isn't even hinted at, is it? In Revelation?
Yes, it is. It's a long story, and if I don't have time with you tonight, but it all starts going back to the time before Jesus Christ. A lot of people, when they hear the word Israel, they think of the country Israel today. They don't realize that there was a time when the Bible talked about Israel being at war with the Jews. Judah broke up after King David and Solomon. The nation broke up. It was a nation of several tribes, 12 tribes. They were called the 12 tribes of Israel. One became known as Judah, or was Judah. The kings began to reign after that period of time and in Jerusalem. But there was a nation to the north then that separated, and that was made up of 10 different tribes. They were taking captivity at a different time than Judah was. Israel, the nation called Israel, wasn't Judah. It wasn't the Jewish people. It was another tribe. They were taken captive by the Assyrians, who are the Germanic people, into Europe. And those tribes migrated into parts of Western Europe. In time, they migrated into the United States and Canada. We are Israel. We are a part of the nations of Israel. We are not Judah. We're not Jewish. We are Israel. And that's why when you read in the Old Testament about prophecies concerning Israel, we are all over the book, because it's about us. It's about what's going to happen to us. We are not the biggest nation, the greatest nation, the most powerful nation on earth, because we're great. God is great. And he made us, he fulfilled prophecies that he gave to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And those prophecies were to go up to the very end of time, and there would be finally one great nation of Israel at the very end of time that would be the most powerful nation. And before that, it was Great Britain, and Great Britain is another one of the tribes of Israel. We are Israelites.
How many other people do you come across that believe like you do?
There aren't very many. There are people who understand some things in history that indeed, you know, one of the things that's an interesting prophecy in the Bible about Jesus Christ is going to return to the throne of David. He's going to come back to his throne, an existing throne. God said that there would always be someone reigning over his people. There would always be someone of the tribe of Judah, of the descendants of David, who would be reigning on earth. People don't realize that that's true.
So who can you trace it to?
The current monarchy in Great Britain.
Tony Blair and the whole gang, or who?
No, the Queen.
Oh, okay, the monarchy, gotcha.
The monarchy, the Queens and Kings of England. Matter of fact, they used to have, they finally shipped it away, but there are a lot of kings over the hundreds of years that were coronated on top of the stone on the throne, and it was called Jacob's Pillar Stone. It had traveled with the Israelites all that time. It's still in existence. It's a stone that most of them were coronated on top of. Same with Israel. So it's an interesting story of history and so forth, and there are those in Great Britain who have certain societies, historical societies and so forth, that believe those things, that understand those things, that have kept records of those things. But the things that are going to happen to us happen very quickly, over a short period of time of about 6 months. Matter of fact, the there's scriptures in Revelation, in Revelation chapter 9, that go through and talk about various things here. Also, before that, the chapter before that, it talks about the seventh seal. Once it's opened, there are seven trumpets. The first four trumpets are tremendous plagues, or tremendous things that take place on this earth, and they, frankly, the first four are on the United States. And that's when we collapse. And that will be during the year of 2008.
Which seal was it that John in Revelation said he couldn't look at? Was that the seventh?
Well, there were seven thunders that he was not allowed to record. There were seven thunders that fall right between the time of the sixth seal and the seventh seal. He was not allowed to record. He just says that there were seven thunders that God told him he couldn't write them down. Those actually are things that I have written in the book that are revealed, because this is the end time and God has revealed them.
My guest tonight, author Ron Weinland, and also pastor of Church of God. Book is 2008, God's Final Witness. You can read it free online at thend2008.com. Ron, I asked you the logistical question. If in the middle of 2007, or towards, let's say, Christmas 2007, if we're still on the same monetary system and there has been no world crash, are you going to start to get nervous, maybe thinking that you might not have heard God correctly? Because for the tribulation to start, it's going to be a one-world currency. I know we're moving fast, but can we move that quickly?
It'll move quickly because God's going to do it. Things are on a very specific timeline, and everything that God has ever said comes to pass, and this is going to come to pass, and that's a part of what my desire is. I know that tonight, and all the radio interviews that I have, people aren't going to believe as a whole what I'm talking about, but it is my hope as a result of writing both books that as time goes along here, that people will begin to listen. When things begin to happen, they will realize and understand that this is true, because it could only be of God, the things that are taking place, in the sense of understanding, being able to prophesy and tell specifically what's taking place.
Well, Ron, I say on my show that I do see prophecy being unfolded in front of our eyes, and it's been going on for quite a while. 1948, when Israel came back together as a nation, although you feel we're Israel, but in my belief, that was prophecy being fulfilled. Do you believe that was prophecy fulfilled in 48?
It was a part of something that had to take place, in that sense, prophetic, of Judah, of Israel, of those people over there, of the Jewish people coming back to that part of the world, because it's a thorn in the flesh for the nations around them there. And it's what's been stirring things up. That's why we're hated so much in the United States, because we're close friends with them. We have an affinity with them. We have an affinity with parts of Western Europe, with Great Britain, Australia, New Zealand. We've always had it because we're brothers. And the reality is this is the thorn in the flesh to the world as a whole. And that's what stirs up things that happen here at the end time. We have stirred up a hornet's nest in Afghanistan, in Iraq, and we're getting ready to in Iran. And it's going to come back, and that's the very thing that's going to begin to be our downfall.
Well, I wouldn't be able to fully get to sleep tonight, Ron, if I didn't. It'd go over and over in my head that I didn't ask you again at the end. If I was a member of your church and you told me my salvation could be taken away, and I ask you, what can I do to keep it, or what do I do that's taken away? I don't feel you've given me a direct answer about that, and that's the one thing tonight that triggered my brain.
I've tried to answer it the best I can. I'll put it this way. If you turn from the Sabbath and went back to, and turned from God's holy days and went back to keeping things that God said we should not keep, you would lose your salvation.
So if you don't go to church on Saturday, you lose your salvation?
Absolutely.
Wow. That's like being like what the Pharisees were acting like when Jesus was on the planet.
That's part of the problem here. God is not working with the world right now. He's not trying to get the world to see and understand his way of life yet. It's coming. It's coming here in the next few years. He's only worked with a few people, and that's the misconception a lot of people have, is that God has been trying to save the world. He has not been trying to save the world. If he has, he's been a lousy job. He's not trying to save the world right now. He will, beginning with the 1,000-year millennium and the 100 years that follows that.
Oh, I think he's working as hard as he can work, and he uses people on earth to try and save the world. And if I believed the way you felt, Ron, I would be very nervous walking around that I might not be in his grace at that moment when a plane plows into my office building or something. Do you have comfort, or does it make you nervous?
No, because I know where I stand as far as a relationship with God and what's going to happen. I know I'm going to be resurrected when Jesus Christ returns.
Where does it say in the Bible that if you don't go to church on Saturday, you will not receive salvation? Where does that say that?
Well, if you don't obey the law of God, you're living in sin. A person lives in sin. But again, this goes back to misconception of traditional Christianity, and they don't understand that God is going to give everyone opportunity to understand, to learn, to know what is true and what is right and how to live right. And they're going to be given the help to live what is right. After the 1,000 years is over, every human being that has ever lived and died is going to be resurrected again into a physical human body once more, not to live in man's world, but to live this time in God's world, the one that God made and worked with over 1,000 years. They're going to be able to make a distinction, a comparison between what man did for 6,000 years and what God did in 1,000 years working with mankind on earth. Every human being, every person you've ever known is going to be resurrected into a physical body again. That's why Revelation chapter 20 talks about there comes a time when the second death has no power over people. There is a time mankind can die twice, but he can't die twice unless he lives twice. And that's a misconception. You don't go to heaven, you don't go to hell. You wait for a resurrection.
Well, I tell you what, Ron, hopefully I'll see you in line up there. And as we approach 2008, would you be willing to come back on and give us some updates as you see the apocalypse starting to get very close?
Make it before April of 2008, and I will.
Before April of 2008. Ron, I appreciate you being on the show tonight and for staying up so late.
You bet. Thank you.
Thank you. 2008, God's final witness. You can go to thend2008.com. You can read the book for free. Not many authors do that. So the man's not out to just definitely make a buck on this. He breaks it down to us, and we can agree to disagree. And that's what we did tonight. It's always good to have different views on the air. And if it caught your mind at all, if you got some opinion on it, 877-353-1310. I happen to be turning 41 on Thursday, so I'm going to take tonight off. And Scooter McGee is going to come on from Conspiracy Keepers. And we're going to talk to Scooter, see what's been up in his world next. Hang on.